Here we go again. That's what I had in my mind as soon as I breathed in. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that song goes. Welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. And I always say welcome to and welcome back to, for those who have never heard of these two African-American people. And for those who know of us and have decided or accidentally popped back up, whatever it may be. Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where we are trying to serve God in our marriage and just remain godly, but realize that it's fun and enjoyable and that you can actually make it. I'm Ronald Corsi.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi.
And we're still married.
I didn't know if we were. Because did we do it last week?
We didn't.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure.
That would be very odd. Be like, we didn't make it, but we're just going to keep. Podcast is just going to keep pushing on. We've divorced, but I'm hitting the table. Podcast is just going to keep pushing on. But no, we're back for another blessed week. I have my OG shirt on. Woo-hoo. This is the cover photo shirt.
Oh, okay.
And it's not because I'm nostalgic. It's just because it was a real shirt that I wore in my life. And I washed it and it was clean. So I just grabbed it and put it on. We're not deep.
No.
We are normal people. And here's the hard part, Chelsea, is that, you know, I have the urge to be like, you know what? I should dress up. I should like throw a hat on. Mm-hmm. I should, you know, and I'm just like, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm not doing it, Chelsea. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we're not trying to put on. I ain't trying to be nothing I'm not. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, and I'm not mad at anybody. It's like, if that's how you normally are, great. You look great, man. You know. I'm going to dress the way I normally dress. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, this is a normal marriage. It's normal for people to have something to say.
Right.
About marriage and to be happy and you know, want to share, mm-hmm. and serve God.
I find it interesting that people are more trusting of people that look more professional.
Yes.
You know, when it's like, in reality, the way someone looks doesn't dictate, you know, how much they know or how wise they are or how qualified they are. Like, it reminds me of that video of the homeless man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, what do you mean? Like when the...
When you showed that to me, right?
What did I show?
Or did I tell you about that?
It depends on which one. It's a lot of homeless men.
Well, like the homeless guy that was preaching at the car window.
Ooh.
I think I stumbled upon that and I might have told you about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it was, sorry, I thought wrong. I was thinking you sent it to me. No, but it was a homeless guy. Mm-hmm. And like he was spitting
bars. Hot bars.
Like it was serious. And like to the point where like a guy with a very established YouTube channel who's like a noteworthy theological dude was like, this was like the most powerful sermon I've ever seen. 15 minutes of this guy spitting bars in somebody's car window. And he was a homeless man.
Homeless.
Yeah. In the rain.
In the rain.
It was pouring rain and he stood there and he had a bag of food from Checkers. Mm. And he stood there and he talked to these people for over 15 minutes, letting his food get cold. No, he's hungry.
Yeah.
Getting poured on rain.
Yeah.
You know? And it was serious. But it's like you wouldn't run into this guy on the street and be like, I bet you he can tell me about the Bible.
Not at all. Not even close. And that's really funny because it's just like you don't think of really the Bible. In the Bible, God promises us food and clothing. Mm. That's actually what he promises.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything about shelter.
Oh.
He said he'll be your shelter.
Amen.
But that's more of a spiritual thing than it is a house. He actually said food and clothing. God knows you have all these needs. Nobody was like, we also don't just want to be out here.
Well, wait, though.
Yeah.
In the Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness, he says, doesn't he take no thought for what you will eat or drink or what you will wear?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say anything about where you'll live.
Negative. Not an ounce. So the kingdom life is a world view.
Okay.
The world is his kingdom.
Amen.
Therefore, you can dwell anywhere.
As long as you're alive, I
guess. I guess. And I don't want to, you know, make light of people who are homeless. I mean, I have, that's terrible. I don't wish anybody to be homeless. Mm-hmm. But when you're with the Lord, it's like when you literally start going through. I heard this recently. Somebody was talking about how Paul started, you know, talking about all the things that he had been through, mm-hmm. and you start looking back, you'd be like, mm-hmm. like Paul
was struggling,
aka used to be Saul,
right?
But Paul is like, I've been beat, I believe boiled alive. Was that him or was that John? I think it might have been John. I can't remember. Beaten with rods several different times.
Yeah.
Survived, I think, a couple of stonings.
Yeah.
Shipwrecked.
Yeah.
A few times. Yeah. Starving, hungry. Mm-hmm. And if we were to find ourselves in that position, we would think that God left us.
Yeah.
And it's not actually true. It's just like when God says you're more than a conqueror, you are an overcomer. Mm-hmm. He is talking about something that's a lot deeper than my present state.
Yeah.
And how things are going for me it doesn't shape my outlook to say I'm doing good or bad. Mm-hmm. I'm phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I'm a conqueror. I'm actually more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. the one who loved us. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but
have no fear.
Have no fear. I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. Man, but you actually look at his life.
Yeah.
And it's not like he didn't pretty go sucky. Through nothing. He had some rough stuff he had to endure. But your spirit and your soul is secure.
Yeah, I was just talking to my cousin a couple hours ago. And, excuse me. And I was talking about Lazarus.
Is that a yawn?
It was a burp.
Oh, it was a burp.
Yes, it was a burp.
You be doing that sometimes. And I was never really sure.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I took Tums. Whenever yes. I take Tums, well, because I have acid reflux and I had tomato sauce yesterday. Whenever I have tomato sauce, I be struggling. So, yes. Like, I take acid reflux medicine every day. But, you know, if I have tomato sauce, I also need Tums.
Terrible.
So, yeah, I took Tums, but whenever I take Tums, I burp.
Okay.
It's where cool. we are. So yes. if you see me profusely burping on the podcast, you can say, oh, Chelsea took some Tums today.
It's not your nervous twitch.
It's not my nervous twitch.
You see me yawning, I done got nervous.
It's true.
Yes, but what was you saying?
Yeah, so I was talking to my cousin about Lazarus. That story has been like really on me heavy for like 3 years now.
Right, the story of Lazarus.
Of Lazarus, yes.
Not the rich man Lazarus.
Not
Lazarus,
the rich man.
Jesus' friend.
Eh, and you just said it. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus' friend. That's what I was talking to her about.
Yes.
I was like, you know, and I was saying it's funny how like when you're reading the Bible, you can miss things. But when you study the Bible.
It's true.
You know.
God gives revelation.
He gives revelation.
Yeah.
And it only comes by his spirit, you Certainly. Know. But like, and really nobody would be studying it apart from having a desire to know. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was saying how it's easy to miss the importance of the fact that it's like, and just coming to the realization that the way it's worded is important.
It's true.
You know, like there's a lot of times that things are included, like details are included, or the way something is worded can really like,
right.
Something as simple as they come to him and say, Lord, your friend Lazarus is sick.
Right. Brilliant.
They could have said, Lord, Lazarus is sick. Nope. Your friend.
Yes.
Lazarus is sick. It's important for us to know that
yeah.
because then Jesus waits.
Yeah. Right.
And his disciples are like, why didn't we leave yet?
Mm-hmm.
What, are you going to go help him? Right.
Yeah. That's your
and
friend.
And he's like, no, I'm purposely waiting for him to die.
Yeah.
Because the sickness is, however, not unto death, but mm-hmm. that, you know, God may be glorified. And then they wait 3 days and they aren't even nearby.
No.
Right?
No.
So they wait 3 days and then they travel on yeah. foot Getting to where head. He is. And then they get there and Mary and Martha are like, if you were here, he wouldn't have died.
Right.
You know, and they're probably thinking to themselves, we sent word to you days ago.
Days ago.
And meanwhile, you know, He had been in the grave for a few days.
Yeah.
Like he died days ago.
Right.
mm-hmm. You know, but they're sitting there sitting Shiva.
Yes.
And here's the issue. It's like if he was just sick, they wouldn't have been sitting Shiva. It wouldn't have been a crowd of people there to witness the miracle. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I was saying like there's a difference between, you know, my stomach was really hurting and then I prayed and God healed me and I flatlined.
Yes.
And God rose me from the dead.
Yeah.
The, you know, the strength. mm-hmm. of the mirror where people can't like write that off and be like, ah, coincidence.
Oh, they can write it off. Oh,
they gonna try.
They'll do it.
They'll do it. They've done it.
They've written off
and they
Christ,
will continue so, to do it. Yes, they do. Yeah. But it's harder.
It's certainly harder.
And some people are going to be convinced.
Yes.
You know, but it's like it's a lot more impressive. You know, this man was dead impressive. For days. They said we don't want to open the grave because he stinks. Mm. That's how long he's been in there.
Man.
Like he didn't just flatline.
Yes.
He's been dead for days.
Right.
And they're like, don't open that. That's going to be funky. You know, but it's like, but he did that on purpose.
Right.
You know, and it's, but that's his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew.
He knew.
He said it before. As soon as they asked him about it, he said, yeah, he's going to die.
Yes.
I got to wait for that to happen and then we'll go.
It's amazing.
But all it's details. For people. And I love, I'm sorry. I had
go ahead.
To.
Let it fly.
Because I love that. I love, though, that it's like there was a crowd of people there. They witnessed this happiness as they go off into the towns and tell into town and tell people what they saw. And it said, and many believed.
There it is.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. You know, and Jesus even says that he prays to God publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole point was that like that they might know that you sent me.
Right.
So they'll believe who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. Every time we suffer. For Christ's sake, is so that others will come to know who he is.
Wow.
That's why.
So, yeah.
It doesn't mean we're not his friend. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It doesn't mean he left. Mm. It literally means no, because we are co-laborers in this.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm including you in my plan.
Yeah.
You know, you're suffering like I did, but that's looking right. to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, consider right. him.
Consider him.
Yes. Who endured way worse than we will ever suffer,
yes.
but for the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
Endured the cross and, you know, despising the shame. So it's like we're doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to.
We're supposed to be doing the same thing. We have to.
Really?
In order for God to be glorified and people to come to know Jesus as the Son of God and as their Savior.
Yes. That's great, man. I mean, and somewhere in Romans 8, if we suffer with him, then are we glorified?
Amen.
If indeed we suffer with him.
Amen.
Not even just suffer, but if we sure enough suffer with him, we shall be glorified with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right there in the book.
Yeah.
So the question is, it's not even a question, but this is the declaration. Let's attribute that to our marriage and to your marriage and to your relationship going forward to say that now my sufferings are not in vain.
Yeah.
That's actually a revelation that the sufferings that we go through are not in vain.
Yeah.
And it seems like there would be let me peel it back because that's a hard thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
To say that my sufferings, whatever they may be, are not in vain. Especially when it comes to your life, you know, childhoods, tweenhoods, teenhood, what is teenage years, whatever. I don't know. You know, there's so many things that you suffer through and you can feel like there was no purpose to it.
Yes, you can.
But God is so amazing that he gives purpose to your suffering.
We were just watching the Kirk Franklin
documentary
Father's Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna spoil it for anybody, you know, but go watch it.
Yeah.
I also won't spoil Tim Ross preaches when he preached on Lazarus. He made some really good points and details of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tim Ross. And I was about to say John Bevere too. It's like a lot of people, you were hitting a lot of people right there, Chels, about the friends, you know, the friendship of God. But the closer we are, and the point of being a friend is that, you know, to God is that he shares closeness with you. You have a more intimate relationship with him and then others will. And I ain't even, man, it's just been hitting me because shout out to John Bevere, man. I really just been appreciating him in my life right now. But it's just when he says it's Sodom and Gomorrah, it's like, Lot, who God calls a righteous man.
Yeah. He's
about to die. He's about to die in Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham knows. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the revelation. Yeah. It's like, no, you gotta, like, you really have to study. It's like, no, that was a righteous man. There's mm-hmm. a lot of righteous people because they believe and are saved through Christ.
Yeah.
But it does not mean they're close mm-hmm. to God.
And what's interesting, too, is Christ had not yet come. Right. So, like, he didn't have imputed righteousness. Right. That means he was just walking uprightly. Well, like Job.
That's true. Correct. That yeah. is true. Oddly enough, well,
not perfect, well, but he was walking uprightly. No.
I don't mean to say that. Really, Abraham is meeting with Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only that. And that's,
well, I think yes. my point is, though, that like we can be doing all the right things and yes. saying all the right things and still not be close to God.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming mm-hmm, from. Mm-hmm. I just for theological theological purposes, you know, it's been believed and been, you know, throughout scripture, like, oh, Abraham was talking to Christ.
To Jesus, yeah.
He didn't know. Mm-hmm. He didn't realize. He just knew him as the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, as God. Mm-hmm. So when you say he didn't come yet, it's just ironic.
Oh, I That's see what I you're mean. Saying.
It's just ironic.
Well, yeah, he was not yet born of the Virgin Mary, right. and he did not yet die on the yes, cross.
He was not
Let's
revealed.
Let's put it that way. Yeah. He was not yet revealed. Not he revealed. Had not yet paid the price for our sins.
Right.
There was no imputed righteousness.
Right.
So if somebody was called righteous in the Old Testament, they was acting right.
Yes. they were doing something.
Yeah.
Something right.
Yeah.
Of that standard. But it's just that closeness. Mm-hmm. But the point of what I was saying is that mm-hmm. because in your marriage and in your life and in relationship, there can be tumultuous things. Mm-hmm. There can be some struggles. Mm-hmm. But I think if we approach them with the idea that this was for a purpose, mm-hmm. no matter how bad it is, mm-hmm. like, or at the very least, I have something to learn from this mm-hmm. as opposed to I have something to stew over or yeah. to be scarred by or to be burdened by, like your outlook is going to be drastically different. Like imagine if Lazarus could have woke up and said, Jesus, I can't believe you let me die for 4 days like yeah. that. He could have said that. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you had me in the grave this long. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, Lot could have said, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me sooner? Mm-hmm. And now I'm just, he could spend the next 5 years just like, oh man, I can't believe he did that.
Right.
I'm mad.
Or why did you destroy my home? Or
why did you, anything.
Like, drive me out? And why yes. is my wife a pillar of salt?
Yes. As opposed to the my fact God. That I actually escaped something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And irregardless, which is not a word, but I love it. Irregardless of the circumstance, God rescued me.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, some things I went through was... Sorry. Was bad.
Yes.
It was bad. Like, and I wish I hadn't went through it. But at the end of it, I'm rescued.
Amen.
Amen.
We're still more than conquerors.
You're still.
I feel like that's a good segue, too, as far as the purpose for marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, last week we were talking about, like, just why should you get married at all? You know, we live in a time where people are like, we could just... never get serious with anyone.
Oh yeah.
And you know, just sleep around and mm-hmm. you know, just do whatever. And we could also just shack up.
Certainly.
You know, we could just live together.
A little shack
and make a very informal commitment yes. to each other. Mm-hmm. With no accountability. You know, that's something I never thought about. Because when you get married and you invite people to come witness it, it's different than you just in your house. Like, yeah, I think we should stay together. And Bill's like, yeah, we should.
Yeah, we together.
Nobody's like, I can't believe, you know, no one's yeah. questioning. It's like, oh, we broke up. Oh, dang. Sorry to hear that. Yeah. When you're married, it's like, oh, well, do you want to reconsider this?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot more accountability there. But anyway.
Wow.
You know, it's like, or that we can just live together for years and do whatever. We can just decide to be casual, you know, casually decide to be partners. We could even have children together. We
yeah.
can co-parent and decide to break up and live apart. We can, like, there's so many options nowadays of different things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And marriage is becoming less and less appealing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it never was appealing. It to a certain extent. I mean, I feel like it was the norm.
Well, I feel like it was necessary.
And necessary, yes.
Safety-wise.
Yes, especially for the woman.
Right, for the woman.
Yes.
And societally.
Yes.
It was necessary for civilization, structure-wise.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if it was ever, like, appealing, though.
that, well.
Like, I mean, beyond the, because to this day, we still all want to be in love and, you know, get whisked away. It's like there is a romantic thing going on there. But as far as like when you really sit down and look at the pros and cons, I think that's always kind of been the same.
Well, I don't know. Well, I feel like maybe we're victims of a newer structure. Because I'm thinking back to like biblical.
Okay.
Like I'm going way back, like to the foundations of like you're married, and you know whatever the social practices of that day were. You know whether somebody had to give you a you know the father a dowry and and basically more or less purchase you. I feel like there was a time where it was maybe what it represented was more appealing than what maybe it actually was.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's the idea of it.
Yeah.
Because I can just see, you know, a TV show with these little Elizabethan women who can't wait to be married. And, oh, it's going to be so lovely.
Yes.
And we're going to have little children and Tilly, Matilda, and George. And you know, and actually want it and find themselves in it where it's like, all right, well, this isn't the best.
I was about to say, but don't watch a movie from that time period.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you're getting treated kind of poorly.
My husband John is sleeping with the maid. And
certainly. Yes.
And I haven't seen him in 5 years.
On top of it. But I know he's sleeping with the maid.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. So I think the idea of marriage has always been appealing in its best form. Because let's not, you know, there's
in
always
its best form.
Right. There's always been good men and good women everywhere. So it just because it was the biblical times doesn't mean that a guy was walking in slapping his wife and taking her clothes off and just taking cheeks, you know, just saying, all right, go cook my dinner. It's like, whoa, like every it's no way. Especially when I think about David, you know, which is funny. That's a bad segue. That's a bad segue because you know he did a little some frivolous things, but
not specifically
that. But he's emotional, and he's an odd person when you actually look at his character and what he was doing. He's a warrior, poet, musician, lover, king, shepherd. Like, yeah, very what odd. He's like every woman's dream.
No, but you know what's funny though? I was just talking to another friend earlier about how we have another mutual friend who is so interesting because they just have done so many things that are totally unrelated. It was like the funniest thing ever. Okay. Just like, for example, I won't say the actual things that they are, but for example, like, yeah, like I was a professional surfer for 5 years and then I became a veterinarian, like what? Literally. And then, because it's been three things with
three
this
things.
Person, and now I'm a skydiver. It's like, what are
really?
You doing? Like,
just out here, man.
I just be out here doing whatever.
Living
like,
their
those
lives.
People are so interesting, though.
They are
I love interesting people.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But David, I just think about David, like, I feel like he loved his women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like even Bathsheba, he, you know, he probably, you know, was just kind of horny, right? But I think in the end of it, he probably loved her and he loved McCall and he loved his wives. Just like he's too, like the way his writing and how emotional he is, like he's in touch with his emotions.
Very much a hopeless romantic.
This guy, he's like, he's a straight up romantic, but he's also a warrior king who's leader of, like, he's.
And I kill bears.
I kill bears. I kill bears and lions.
And he was fine. That's what
and
the
he
Bible
was good looking.
Says.
It's like, so he's every woman's dream.
Yeah.
He encompasses all that they want. All
right.
So there are men out there, even in biblical days, who probably loved their wives well, and they were happy and could not be happier to be married.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
all.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But today, after all of that, because we always want to point it back to marriage, because this is the BTO, a.k.a. Better Than One Marriage Podcast. So, you know, it's about helping people in their marriage and
indeed.
And just encouraging you to go be married. Don't be afraid of marriage to think that you can't make it work because your parents didn't make it work. Mm-hmm. Your brothers or your uncles or whoever, or your aunts or your sisters. Or even your leaders, mm-hmm. like it, you are not them, mm-hmm. and God wants you to succeed in marriage, but you have to come in humble,
Yeah.
And you just need guidance. We need guidance.
Everybody does. Yeah.
So this will be a help.
Amen. Yeah. So, you know, last week we were talking about just the purpose for marriage in general. Mm-hmm. And like, why, you know, why did God ordain marriage? Like, what are the benefits of it?
Yeah.
You know, cause I think we're in a time where people just highlight the negatives, mm-hmm. and instead of focusing on the positives. And especially if you're apart from Christ, you can't see God's intent.
Correct.
Cause that's a deeper thing than just, you know, a human level.
Yes.
But this week we want to talk about the unique purpose for each marriage.
Amen.
I mean, let's just start by, do you actually feel that God brings people together? Because we've kind of talked about that before. Like, do you actually feel that God ordains couples?
Let me say this.
Okay.
This is, and this is something hard to actually say, so I'm going to try and say it in a way that makes sense.
Okay.
We were just talking about Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. He is Alpha and Omega. God does not change,
mm-hmm.
Which is how Jesus Christ could visit Abraham, even though he was not born on the earth.
Yes.
Because he was, the way he is, he always is in a way that I can't even necessarily explain. But he, when you're outside of time, you're not subject to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now Christ is, you know, popping up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's here and there, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the Old Testament, even mm-hmm. though he hasn't even been born yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But concerning your marriage, I feel that God is looking at your end.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, I know your end, so this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I know your end and you'll have no part with me.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever it is you please.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is kind of the separator, is people who, and this is heaven and hell broken down, is that heaven is for people who want to have a relationship with God and live their lives with him. When you get to heaven, you get to fully live your life with him.
Yeah.
And for those who do not want to have any part with him, God says, okay, in hell, you will have no part with me now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you wanted. That's what you'll get. So now I can say this, that even before I was truly saved,
mm-hmm.
God was already putting the plan together for me and you.
Yeah.
Because he knew I would be saved.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
That's the point I'm actually making, because he's outside of time. He's not like waiting for me to say.
Right. Yeah, we're not telling him what, like, right. making a move. And then he says, OK, so now I'm going to respond to your move.
That's the hardest thing for us to understand.
Yeah.
He's in the 90s right now as well. He's in the future at the same time.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. And because he knows the end of our time,
mm-hmm.
he makes the plan based on it, mm-hmm. and says, all right, let me backtrack, and I'm here. Really, he doesn't have to backtrack. It's like something we can't actually really explain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he doesn't actually have to backtrack or go forward.
Right.
He's at all places.
Yeah, it's already done.
It's already done.
It's already happened in his existence.
That's the harp. It's like it's actually already finished.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. Yeah. All right.
I know.
Whatever you say, Lord. All right, fine. But I think in that regard, if you are a believing and biblical Christian who follows Christ, now your life is guided by God.
Your steps are ordered.
So I cannot say, and this is for everybody,
mm-hmm.
anybody who you've had an interaction with.
Yeah.
He put that there,
mm-hmm.
you know, from people at your job to people you bump into. Ooh, sorry. Didn't mean to bump into you.
Mm-hmm.
Even that. So specifically, especially with your marriage, all the more, we are meant for each other.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I saw a mixed bag when I was like looking it up to see what different people were saying.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I found a lot more of no. He mm-hmm. does not put people together. Yeah. I disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I disagree. But a lot of people's argument was free will.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, like, our free will is woven into God's plan.
Right.
He gave us choices to make,
mm-hmm.
but he knew what those choices would be,
yeah.
and made and allotted, you know, things for that. So to still achieve his purpose and his plan.
Right.
You know, so it's not that he's taking our choices away, but yes, he already knew exactly what we were going to do. And then, like you said, he put things in place to get us where we need to go.
Right.
According to his perfect will.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, he makes allotments for our whatevers, but
my God,
you know, I still think that it all, anyway.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much, Jones.
Yeah, but I actually have a few scriptures that I pulled up just to support that. You know, Mark chapter 10, verse 9, it's also in Matthew from what I saw, but therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate.
Right.
What God has joined together.
There it is.
And, you know, one could argue that it's like, oh, well, it's just saying that because that's what marriage is.
Sure.
Like, you decided to get married and that's what he's doing when you get married. But when you pair it with these other scriptures, such as Jeremiah 29:11,
right,
these are very familiar things. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the thoughts I think toward you, depending on which version you read. You know, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Mm. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Declares the Lord.
Not I know what I think toward you. And this is, and he's saying a hope and a future. Yeah. I know the future that I planned for you.
Yes, an expected end.
An expected end. It's not willy-nilly. Psalm 37:23, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him, a.k.a. the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
There it is.
Psalm 37:4-6, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Hold on, I need to read the King James Version. That was the NIV. All of these have been the NIV so far. Hold on. That was a fluke. Anyway, but it still is, you know, I'm going to give you good things though.
Yeah.
You know, if you commit your way unto me, I'm going to, you know, bring you into good things and righteousness and all of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight.
Yeah.
You know, he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes.
Please.
Fear the Lord and shun evil. So, you know, being wise in your own eyes would say, like, all right, who do I want to marry today? Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. But that's in hard. All your ways, acknowledge him. If you acknowledge him, and that goes back to what you were saying, if you're a believer, if you truly are a biblical Christian where you're actually following Christ and you're trying to seek him and ask him for guidance, you know, then if you in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path.
Yeah.
You know, so if he's directing our path, I do believe that for the Christian, at least, we can surely say that he planned who our spouse would be and that he will put us together.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, our story, you can watch another episode to hear how that came together.
Like, yeah, I literally, like, that's where I was like, we can't even, because you cannot, there are so many factors that way. It's like the what they call the butterfly effect, where people try to go back in time. Uh-huh. It's like, you can't change anything.
Yeah, what's the movie we just watched with Denzel not long ago?
Oh, Deja Vu.
Yeah, it's right? Like that.
Yeah, and then, of course, there is the movie literally called Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher.
That
movie
one,
was
yes.
weird. That one was creepy.
Uh-huh.
But you go back in time to try to change something. And that was a cool movie though, where you know, he would read stuff from the past and just transport back there. Not cool for life, but a cool movie premise.
Yeah.
But it would change, you know, there would be bad memories and he would try to go back and change that memory by doing something, not realizing by doing that you change something, and he keeps just making it worse, trying to fix it and trying to get out of his situation because you change this and like, oh, he ends up in jail.
Right.
It's
wow.
Like, how did I get here? It's like, oh no, this is no good. But that, what was I at? The butterfly. Oh, when you think about all the aspects of trying to bring two people together.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you serious? It's like, you have to actually go back to.
And have them be who they are.
All of that. Personality
That's
wise.
That's it. Have them be the two people that they are.
Yeah.
That are compatible.
That's the hard part because, you know, that stuff is shaped by your childhood and your parents and your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need somebody that fits this guy over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happenstance. And I was just thinking, I'm sitting there in the daggone studio and I'm like, there's another three or four people in there who, except they were in there, I don't even know if you take the chance and sit down next to me because I seem nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they weren't nice, but I was nice and I was not interested in what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when I'm interested in what they're doing?
Right.
And they leave the room.
Yeah, and you leave the room too.
And I leave too.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Mm-hmm.
oh, I like smoking. Yeah, let's go smoke. Mm-hmm. Instead, I don't like smoking. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to smoke. I'll just sit here. Mm-hmm. And here comes, here comes Scrumptious over here. Scrumptious comes and sits down. Hey, it's nice. He seems nice.
Right.
Yeah, just for me to see. It's so many things.
So many things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many things. Wow. God is good.
He is good.
Y'all got to go back and watch other episodes and you'll find. I won't even tell you which one. Where we've talked about like all the things with how we got together.
I don't even know. Yeah. It's too much.
I found an article on enjoyingthejourney.org called Married Couples Serving God Together. I do believe that not only does God put you together with your spouse for a purpose. So like not only is there an overarching purpose for marriage, but there's, I do believe, a unique purpose for your marriage.
Yeah.
There's unique things that God wants to accomplish through the two of you together. You know, you have your individual callings and purposes, but I do believe there's a purpose for you together as a married couple. Enjoyingthejourney.org, Married Couples Serving God Together. That is the article that I am now about to read. It's not too long. My wife and I just returned from our annual couples retreat. We had the joy of spending some extra time with my favorite couple, my dad and mom. Their example has been wonderful instruction. One of the great joys of my life has been to see my father and mother serve the Lord together. There are few gifts parents can give their children that are as great in value as the example of joyfully serving Christ as a couple. My pastor and his wife recently celebrated their 46th wedding anniversary. Their marriage testifies to the power of following the biblical pattern for a husband and wife, giving ourselves first to God and then to one another. In relation to our own homes, we would do well to heed the instruction and example of older men and women, such as in Titus chapter 2. I have enjoyed studying the married couples of the Bible. One of the great couples God references for us is Aquila and Priscilla. They were not famous, but they were faithful. In following Aquila and Priscilla through the New Testament, you will soon notice that they are always mentioned together. We first meet them in Acts chapter 18, verse 2, where we read, "A certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla." Every other time they were spoken of in Scripture, they were together. We think of them not as two, but as one. Surely this was God's intention in Genesis 2:24 when he said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The Lord Jesus confirmed this command in Matthew 19:5 and Mark 10:8 and added the warning, "What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder or separate." When Paul wrote the Ephesian believers, he repeated this truth in the context of Christ and his church. However, the greatest example is our Lord's own covenant with his people. He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Aquila and Priscilla are displaying to us what has been designed by God. We understand it is the perfect will of God that couples stay together. Many years pass from Acts 18 until we last hear of them in 2 Timothy 4:19. Yet Aquila and Priscilla are still together.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when more than half of all marriages end in divorce, this is a reminder all God's people need. But it is not enough to simply stay married. It is also the will of God that Christian couples serve the Lord together.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands and wives are to work together to bring glory to Christ through their home. Married couples ought to pray together, read the Word of God together, attend the church services together, and labor together to bring the lost to Christ. Nothing brings unity like a common purpose. The desire of every believing husband and wife ought to be to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together. How beautiful it is to see families joyfully serving the Lord. Will you determine to make your home a place where everyone is involved in the work of Christ? May God give us all the grace to finish our course with joy serving God together. And then they have Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Mm-hmm.
So then it says, do you ever talk with your mate about spiritual matters? It is amazing that we talk to one another about plans, finances, children, and problems, but never talk about Christ and the place he ought to occupy in our lives. Here are a few helpful ways to set in motion a conversation about the Lord in your home. So these are just some little prompts to help you and your spouse get on one accord about like how God would want to, you know, just have you both on one accord in your spiritual life, as well as to serve God together. So first one, tell your spouse exactly how you came to know Christ as your Savior.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, well, yes, that could be good for people who are not basically born in church.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you've been hearing the sermon every Wednesday and Sunday for years. It's like, well, eventually you'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess I believe that too. There it is, saving knowledge. Amen. Yeah.
Well, praise God. I mean, still though, because you and I both had the experience that we were in church our whole lives, but we know the moment that it became serious for us.
No, I don't know the moment it became serious, actually.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, I mean, I always thought it was the time you said you wound up going up to the altar and you were crying.
Oh, I mean, that was serious, but I don't know if that was it. I was a certain heathen after that.
Okay. I mean, it's that. I don't think that's the evidence. A lot. Well, we're always still a heathen
well,
at first.
Well, I mean, a staunch heathen.
We're always still a staunch heathen
well,
at
no.
first.
Okay, well, let me qualify. Okay. A staunch heathen is somebody who says they're saved but has no desire to live or act saved.
But we all start that way, don't we?
No, not
there's
everybody.
There's growth involved.
There is growth, but there's a difference between blatant, I don't care, and I just can't help myself because I'm a heathen. There's a blatant difference. It's like, especially, I feel like it's for people who are older and have lived. Mm-hmm. And they get that like that miraculous like I'm oh wow this is
I'm
who,
done with this
I'm done like mm-hmm. this is who Christ really is and mm-hmm. I'm done and they're heathen still but they're actually trying not to be a heathen. I was a heathen and did not care about being one. It was just like yep, I'm over here trying to be a heathen.
You're so funny.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, but. Mm-hmm. I think that you can come to understand that Jesus is the Son of God and come to, you know, the ABCs,
yes.
accept, believe, confess, mm-hmm. and be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. But you're also able to quench the Spirit. You're also able to grieve the Spirit. And I think that when we first come to Christ, like Paul, he comes and says, like, you should be on meat by now. And you're still on milk. That doesn't mean you're not saved. And it doesn't mean you didn't have a come to Jesus moment. It just means you haven't matured.
Sometimes, but I do want to, and I hear what you're saying, because mm-hmm. that is a fair point. However, I want to caution when in Matthew, I believe,
sure.
and Jesus Christ says, not everyone that cries, you know, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, we did this, we did that, and we did such and such. And he said, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter into the kingdom, mm-hmm. but those who do the will
of
my Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we fall into that territory. It's like, oh, he's like, don't be impressed. It's like the demons know. They mm-hmm. know better than you. They know and tremble. You have to believe, and they don't have to know, and they're not going to be in this kingdom. So it's like your belief, I believe the true word for belief is more than just you knowing that is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the belief so much. You know that is Christ so much that you'll do what he asks you to do, right? And this is for those who practice lawlessness. Not for people who have trespasses, for people who are stumbling.
So you're saying I wasn't just falling short. Like,
no.
I literally didn't care. I wasn't seeking God.
No.
I didn't.
Correct.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah, that's different, right? So that's why I wouldn't say that was it.
Well, I would like to know. So when you were crying and went up to the altar, what was going on inside of you at that time?
I don't know. That's a good question. I
told
you. Shout out to Bishop Courtney Pope. I don't know if he'll ever see this, but I don't
send it to him.
Listen, there was a thing. I don't know what. Really, it's the Lord. I don't know. It's just the process. And I won't say that. Maybe that is my process of sanctification, and maybe I just wasn't discipled properly, which seems ridiculous. But because my father is a devout lover of God, but
right.
that doesn't mean he understands discipleship. In the manner that we do today.
Okay.
When, you know, or maybe he just didn't realize. Maybe he thought I was a better person.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, traditional church is not as personal.
Correct.
They're not going to, like,
yes.
meet with you on the side
there
and
are
be
no
like,
small,
how are you
right.
coming along?
There's no small groups.
Right, right.
That's
a newer
right.
construct.
There is no like structured discipleship. Their mm-hmm. discipleship is, hey, come to Bible study and act right.
Right.
And that should be enough.
And we're just assuming that you are.
Yeah. But some people just be anointed. That's all. Like, I don't even know what he was saying. Like, I literally, on the second time I walked up and said to him, I ain't trying to keep coming to hear you preach, man, because you keep having me in here crying. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to be in here crying like this.
That's
and,
funny.
Because that had already happened before. And then it's like, oh, here we go back again. Just got to go up there. I'm broken down. And really, that is the Lord drawing you.
Right. So you might not have received the, like, you may not have, like, received the call yet, but you were being pricked. Is that, so, your heart was being pricked? Is that what's going on?
Because at the end of the day, you are saved by belief.
Yeah.
But I just, I can't, it's hard to actually differentiate and say, like, I was actually saved then. Especially because when you have no...
So you didn't have no conviction? Well, like, no conviction?
No, I had conviction.
Boom.
That's fine.
I feel like that's... Yeah, so that's it was fair. A lack of maturity.
Yeah,
more because or less, I was I drawing. Like, I know for a fact... no, because I know for a fact when I was 14, I went to Living Faith Christian Center in Pensauken, New Jersey, with my friend Jenny. And they did... And now I was scared. I was. It was a scary, like, oh no, like it was the actual fear of God, because they did a Halloween play that scared the crap out of me, and I was like, I don't want to go to hell. Literally, they're like, come to the altar, first time in my life, I'm coming.
I ain't going to hell.
I'm snotting. I'm like, oh no. So it was later in my life that, you know, I came to understand the grace of God, and it was more of a serving out of, like, reverence and love rather than, like, I'm afraid of hell. But I was serious.
I
understood that Jesus was my savior, and I wanted him to save me, and I asked him to.
Yes.
And, like, I was definitely convicted of sin. Like, I, at that point, like, for my whole, I was very convicted, and I would apologize. I would say, like, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that.
Yes.
But was I still doing it? Was I thinking of him at the time? No.
No, not at all.
I think that's a process. I think that's a sanctification process.
Yeah, and I think it is too. It's just hard for me to say that, you know, because I believe is like, well, God can't say belief is it. And then be like, well, no, you know, it's belief, but you also got to live right.
You do.
It's like, but the it's a delicate balance between you believing and really just having a heart for God.
I was about to say the same thing. It's the heart.
It's really the heart. It's like, because there's certain people who like, well, I believe, but I don't really have a heart for God, and I don't actually intend on, you know, living right. And then I question your actual belief. So it's like, and I think Pastor Robert Morris said it, it's like, well, some people believe in your head, but you don't believe in your heart.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
It's like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, he probably is my savior and such, but it's like, but if the life doesn't follow it and something changed, it's like, well, I, you know.
Yeah,
you don't,
there should be fruit.
There needs to be a real belief. Yeah.
Excuse me. I hear you. So these first prompts are more about, like, how to just get spiritually on one accord. Because that's, like, the first step before you start serving God together.
How many prompts?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. I mean, we don't have to elaborate on
that. I was just asking. I didn't know how many. That's a good amount.
Yeah. So the first one is just talking about how you came to know Christ as your Savior. It's interesting, too, because some Christians literally, I met a, I have so much respect for them as a couple. But, you know, my friends that I met that are, like, really hardcore.
Sure.
Yeah. But the first thing she asked me was just, oh, hey, I'm such and such. What's your, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. And we're pushing our kids on the swing. And she's like, so, like, what's your salvation story? Like, people be leading off with that. Right. It's funny to me because different circles kind of roll differently.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Next point is express to your mate how grateful to God you are for them and how much you love them. And it has is this Philemon or Philippians? How do you know?
What is the
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you.
That's Philippians.
Okay.
That's Paul.
How do you distinguish?
That's Paul.
Okay, cool.
That's how he used to greet them, Joe.
That is how he used to greet them. I mean, I could have guessed, but I didn't want to be sure. Yeah, so it is good to actually express to your mate how grateful to God you are for them and, like, acknowledge that God gave them to you. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But to discuss that, share with your spouse, number three, share with your spouse a matter you are specifically praying about at the time.
Wow.
Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah,
Galatians 6:2. We should actually know what each other is going to God for.
Wow. I mean, that's I listen, I'm not that deep. I've never, I mean, certain things probably, but maybe not all things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, why do you say that, Ron?
Well, because, I mean, there are certain things that we're dealing with that I know, like, we both are probably praying about. Finances, JJ, Corey, you know, just their futures, sure direction concerning our uniqueness of our marriage, certain things. But, you know, there might be deeper things that I don't necessarily talk about with you.
Okay.
You know, just dealing with my past and my insecurities. I told you recently about that. You know, I believe it's from insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I guess, well, just to say, I mean, you know, because like that, a man's like urge to want to like flirt or to want to, you know, kind of go after other women is kind of based in really an insecurity. If you're already in a happy marriage, it's like, well, this is your woman, you know, you just want to, or pride or and pride is masked as insecurity, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's that's so funny. So you're prideful because you're actually insecure.
That's interesting.
It is, right? But whatever that thing is, like, yeah, I need to see if I can, you know, I want to see if I can get her, you know. And
right. I don't actually have to have her. Just wanted to see if it's possible.
I just want to see if it's possible. I just want to know.
Yeah.
And you just, I guess that thrill, that chase, you know, that's all just frivolous, you know. But other than that, I don't think I've really said anything other than that that's like deeper. But I have other deeper things, you know.
Well, yeah. I wonder, though, like, is there anything, because it's one thing if it's like something that would hurt your spouse.
Right.
You know, where God is literally saying, nah, you don't need to. That's between me and you. Just come to me about that.
Right.
And in some instances, even if it will hurt them, you still need to say it.
Correct.
And be praying together about it. But I do wonder, like, what is the differentiation? If it's just like personal issues, like, why not be able to share it all?
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, and I think it's actually more a issue of intentionality as it is more than it is an issue with.
It not being something you should do.
Well, with transparency. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah. Like, I can tell you anything. It's just more of being intentional to be like, hey, this is what I'm praying for.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was actually intentional about the thing with the, like, women.
Right.
Because, you know, I feel like that's something that, you know, you should know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pray for me, you know, and that you would also know that I'm aware of it and I'm not, you know, and I'm not trying to, I'm trying to not do that type of stuff, you know.
Right.
Just being aware of it.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, so I already read that scripture reference. Okay, so the next point is talk with your spouse about how God has answered prayer and give him the glory together. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34:3.
Together.
I mean, that really does like strengthen others. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We can be sharing testimonies with each other and uplifting each other.
Yes, we can. That's true.
Amen. Which goes back to if you don't even know that your spouse was praying about something. And how much more joyful is that if you were praying about it together?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, look, God answered prayer. Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially, you know, with JJ and just his development.
Amen.
You know, every time you turn around, he you know, he's doing something more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, heartwarming.
Amen.
Not to mention he's, you know, he's adorable. So
I know.
He's just over here doing his little...
Mm-hmm.
Doing his little lollipop guilt thing, and just you know, you just say praise the Lord, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. I was just watching videos of him with him on the couch. Sorry, the table is squeaking.
It's getting old.
on the couch, but while Ron was setting up this stuff for the podcast, before I laid him down, and I was even just like thinking about that, like, wow, like he's become, like, his speech became way more clear.
Yeah.
You know, and like he's just saying a lot more independently. Like, I took a video of him today when we were at the grocery store because he had little animal toys with him.
Yeah.
And I was holding up and say, like, what does the sheep say? And he, bah, bah. What does the cow say? Moo, moo.
Moo, moo.
And, but then when I was looking at these videos with him, literally just like in May, like it's September, just in May. No, that one might have been a little older, maybe like February that one was. He was with his speech therapist and they had an animal puzzle. And like he was way more hesitant to answer, or he would like repeat after her and it just wasn't as clear.
Right.
You know, I'm like, wow, just like within a few months.
Yeah.
You know, it's much more spontaneous. Like he just met his speech goal. They're making new goals for him in speech therapy now because he's doing a lot more like spontaneous language. It doesn't have to be like repeated or, you know, prompted as much anymore. And it's like very clear, like anyone can hear him and know what he's saying, you know, and it is, it's, yeah, the Lord is good. He's faithful.
Yeah,
he really is. The next prompt, show your mate a truth God has recently taught you from his word. I think we do that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you'll hear me.
It yeah.
It's always funny. You'll hear me talking to somebody else.
You know, well, Lord. That's true.
All loud and excited. You know, the Lord said, blah, da, 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 da.
Right.
It's just like,
oh,
no, man.
But we do. Like, we share stuff often. Like, oh, yeah, like, I heard this in a sermon today, or, like, I read this in a devotional today, and we do that a lot. Show your mate a truth God has recently taught you from his word, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Amen.
Acts 4:20.
Yeah, already. I'm shout out to John Bevere, man.
Amen.
Not to cut you, but
because
I don't listen to, you know, I feel like God, there's a general thing that God gives people who are his preachers and whoever, bishops, whatever, evangelists, doesn't matter. And they all have a certain kind of outlook.
Yeah.
And I think that's on purpose because we need certain outlooks. We need different opinions.
Right.
And different viewpoints on a large scope of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Not to confuse people. But somebody needs to have a heavier pen and a heavier message on purpose. Somebody needs to have a heavier message on faith.
Right.
Somebody on praying. Somebody on, you know, John Bevere's the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's just been, you know, he's been blessing my soul, man.
Amen. Yeah. And different ones will speak to you in different seasons, I noticed,
right.
too.
That's true.
Like, depending on where you are, that rhema word.
Listen,
you know, they be having a rhema word, and it's like, this one has one. Like, when I first was coming to understand grace, because, you know, I grew up really struggling with being under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I really came to first understand grace, I know people have mixed feelings about Creflo Dollar.
Yeah.
But he blessed me.
Yes.
That's his thing. Grace is his thing.
Amen.
And it's like, no, should we abide in sin that grace may abound? No. Mm-hmm. God forbid. You know, we do want to keep it in balance. But in my opinion, he was keeping it in balance. I mean, I don't know if I've missed a couple of sermons where he flew off the handle or anything. But people used to be coming at him, and I was listening to him, and I was like, no, he's not saying go sin freely.
No.
He's just saying praise God for his grace.
Yeah.
If it were not for his grace. And helping us to understand our identity in him, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
People look at that as like, oh, don't say that. You're not righteous. Yeah. There is none righteous.
I am. He said I was righteous.
Exactly. And it's like he's really trying to get because you walk with your head held low and with lower expectations of yourself if you don't understand that truth.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm still working on that.
Listen, if you want to know another truth about grace, I just found out by John Bevere, because he always goes into scripture, is that grace is empowerment.
Mm.
And he talks about, he was talking about giving a survey to a bunch of like American Christians, and like only 2% knew that grace is actually empowerment. It's the empowerment to actually do what God asks you to do. That's actually a part of the definition of grace.
Oh, wow.
Biblically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just
undeserved blessings.
Favor or salvation. It's like, no, it's also actually empowerment.
Wow.
He empowers you when he gives you grace.
Wow.
Which I had never heard that in my life.
Amen.
Amazing.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Our next one is, explain to your spouse the spiritual goals you have for your own life.
You already know, Chels. You already know. I want to get a book in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? I know they said don't add, but I feel like the Lord might, you know, he might make an exception.
That's horrible. Let's highlight that for a second, though. Let's highlight that for a second. There's denominations out here that have separate books.
They do.
or that added a profit.
Yikes.
Let's just make I just want to make note of that. Be careful. Because God told John the Revelator, we're done.
That's it.
So if they're talking about there's some later revelations or stuff that's additional, it's one thing to confirm what's already said. It's another thing to add.
Yes.
Just want to say that. All right.
That's plenty said.
So not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Mm-hmm. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's a mouthful. So Philippians 3:12.
This guy. Because if you half and don't half at the same time, half of the half that you have shall be whoever is not furthermore there and before and betwixt and behind. It's like Paul.
I know.
All right, man.
I know. He stayed doing that. What was the other one?
If I do what I do not
yes,
do.
Yes, that is the one.
If I do what I'm not supposed to do when I do it, but I'm not really doing it, am I doing it? Or is it sin that dwells in me? It's the sin that doeth that
that's
doeth not.
That's the one. That it's is just the like, one. All right,
Paul, I get what you're trying to say. This is why you need the Holy Spirit when you're reading the Bible.
Cause you really do, because you see my face if you're watching. I'm like.
Just like.
Wait. Not as though I had already attained. I mean, we can understand that. Yes. Either were already perfect. Nope. Okay.
Also not perfect.
But I follow after.
Yes.
If that I may.
So that I can.
Apprehend that for which also
yes.
I am apprehended.
See, now I went too far. Went too far, Paul.
We were doing good, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that. Mm-hmm. For which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So for the purpose that Jesus apprehended me.
Correct. That's what I'm after apprehension.
So that I can attain that for which, the purpose for which he
apprehended me. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Philippians 3:12. So explain to your spouse the spiritual goals you have for your own life. That's good. Last one. Discuss with your mate specific opportunities your family has to minister to others.
Oh, well.
And that's where it gets into the meat and potatoes of today's episode. There is a specific, there are opportunities that God presents to you as a family or as a couple.
Well, yeah.
To minister to others. We all are, it's all for the upbuilding of the kingdom.
Yes.
The glory of God. But, you know, you don't come together just to better one another. Like, we're never only for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're always for the kingdom. We're always for others.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, Lord, what are you doing through us? Not just through me and through Ron.
Right.
But through the Corsis.
Well, yeah, I think that's, you know, I think when you say what is your unique, well, what is the actual title for unique? It was like your unique.
The unique purpose. Unique God's unique purpose right. for your marriage.
God's unique purpose for your marriage. I believe it's partial and it's unknown because there's a general quality to your marriage that, you know, you're supposed to give God glory.
Yeah.
You know what your gifts are.
Right.
So generally you can kind of have a general idea to say, well, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just on the surface. But I believe the actual unique quality that God has purposefully for you, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't actually know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know that God gave you a gift to speak. You don't know who he's going to necessarily make you speak to.
Right.
He gave us a gift of music. He doesn't know. I don't know. Like, are we going to make music? Are we going to be here making music? Is somebody going to call us and say, hey, we want you to
mm-hmm,
sing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like, you don't know specifically. You just know the general.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the specifics is for him to know.
Right.
And for you to find out.
And for us to seek God for.
Yeah.
I think we should desire it.
Well, yeah, I think. Yes, in a certain manner,
mm-hmm.
but also in a certain manner, you don't even. It's almost like you don't even know to seek it.
Well, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
In that, like, I can't say. Well, I know what you mean. Because what you can say to God is like, help me to walk in whatever it is you want me to do.
That's it. Like, Lord, we want to be used by you.
Right. See, but to me, that's still general.
It is general.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't know specifically
right.
what to ask for. And that's what, what's his name?
You're precious.
Tim Ross.
Wow. I could have. Timothy.
That's what Tim Ross was saying about the prayer of, he was saying Jabez. We always said Jabez, but he was saying Jabez. So Jabez. I'm going to say Jabez. I mean, it's cooler too. But anyway, he was saying about the prayer of Jabez that he didn't say how to bless me.
Right.
He just said, bless me and enlarge my territory.
Amen.
And even when we look at the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
May your will be done on heaven as it is in on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
It doesn't say, and it says, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
Our daily portion.
Whatever it is.
That can come, whatever it is.
Right.
It's general. That's like, God, we just want your will.
Right.
However, we're very specific that we do, God, want you to use us.
Correct.
For your good purposes, for your glory. So just like, show us what that is and help us to obey.
Right. And I think that is the general quality.
Yeah.
And the unique quality is, you know, you find yourself somewhere he put you.
Yeah.
So now it's like, hey, enlarge my territory. And now you find yourself, you know, I don't know, in some other state. Mm-hmm. Now you say, okay, Lord, help me to do something in this state.
Right.
But you're not going to know what the state is until he shows you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes he shows you and it is decisive, like it is clear.
Sometimes, yeah,
you know, where it's like, oh, okay, he appointed me as youth pastor at XYZ church, or he appointed me as the minister of music at Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, okay, so obviously I know what I'm doing.
Right.
Like, once it, you know, sometimes you get revelation and it's not like, all right, let's see what it is tomorrow. Like, sometimes it really is like, okay, that's just
we're here. That's crazy, Chels. I mean, well, it's not crazy, but I think that's a good example. That's a great example, actually, Jericho. Because here I am generally just saying.
That was a great example.
Like, it's a great example. Generally, I'm playing at First Baptist, our church, really.
Mm-hmm.
First Baptist Church Jericho, where I'm going over there just to be a piano player.
Literally trying to not be a minister of music anymore.
Trying to not be a minister of music.
Yeah.
And I go over there just like, oh, well, you know, I'm a player. And that's a general thing. Like, well, I know I play. Hey, they called me to play. Hey, I guess I can go bless people over there.
Right.
And then God is like, nah, you need to go be minister of music over there.
But and I'm putting you in place for that because someone's leaving and you need to step in.
And this is 3 years, right? There it is. So someone's leaving and now I got to step in. But I don't know that specificity. I can't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm supposed to be in a certain place, go over there. Same thing with CCU.
Mm-hmm.
I go to CCU to hear my brother play
mm-hmm.
on a Sunday morning. He's like, hey, you know, we're doing pretty good. You should come hear us play. I'm like, well, okay, cool. But he's like, well, if you're coming, you know, might as well play. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'll play. You get on play. And then it's like, well, maybe you should just keep coming. You ain't doing nothing. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that's true. So I guess I'll just keep on coming then.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, a few years later, hey, we need somebody to run the choir.
Yep.
It's just like, well, and they're like, well, who would be good for it? Well, my brother, he runs choirs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, well, yeah, I do run choirs, I guess. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I'll run the choir.
Yeah, wow.
And you don't think of any of this.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, I guess I'm going to go play.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You're gonna do other specific things
mm-hmm.
that only God's going to know. And then sometimes he reveals, sometimes you're just in it. You're like, oh, this is why.
Right, right.
And you look back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. But then once you're in it, you're in it.
Now
and you're doing it.
You're doing it.
Yeah. Sometimes like that part becomes clear.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is clarity in the gift.
Mm.
The gift brings clarity because certain things you don't need clarity.
Yeah.
You are an anointed singer. Go sing.
Exactly.
Amen.
Right.
Where you sing is where he's like, okay.
That's up in the air.
Because you don't know what people need. That's the hardest part of being a minister of music or a worship leader. It's like, you know people need God, but you don't know what they need specifically.
Wow.
You don't know what they need you to sing.
What words to sing.
Right? Yeah. You don't know what words to sing. You don't know what to say. So you guys just got to be led by the Spirit.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Just got to be in place.
Yeah. Know? Amen. And what I was saying about was that the way that you said that, it kind of ties back into what we were saying earlier in the episode of like, does God put couples together?
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying like, there's still free will involved.
Yeah.
But like, he still has a plan within your choices.
Yeah.
And if you ask him to guide you, he does.
Yeah.
And he will work within you to desire his will.
Amen.
And to do his will. You know, so... But like you were saying, it's like, you know, he'll kind of just like, okay, I'm going to set you up over here so that you can be there, so that that can, you know, so that that can happen, so y'all can get together, so this can da 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 da.
Yes.
That's how he works. That's how he moves. It's all connected. Nothing is by happenstance.
Amen.
It's all,
yeah, all planned.
Your steps are ordered.
Ordered.
They're ordered.
You're going. My God. You can fight it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Negro, you going.
Jonah.
Yes.
Jonah.
He's going.
You're going, son.
If I'm not mistaken, the fish spat him up on the land that...
In Nineveh. Went on a ship going the other way. Had to get swallowed by a fish that was going to swim him to where he was supposed to be.
The fish is like, nah, you ain't going the right way, bro. Come on, hop in. I got you.
That is
gonna
funny.
Spit him up on the shores of Nineveh.
Crying.
If that is not the funniest thing you've ever heard. Fish.
God was like, I said.
Like I was telling you before. So I need you to go talk to these people at Nineveh.
Oh, no.
That's funny.
Oh, man. So the scripture they had for that was Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Amen.
So your marriage is not just for you.
Amen.
Amen. It's for others. So, you know, you can be talking with your mate and seeking God and praying with God together. Like, all right, Lord, we just want your will to be done through our marriage. And then just wait and see how that plays out.
That's it, Jones.
And be willing to go when he says go.
Amen. If you're willing to go, I'll go if I have to go by myself. I'll go. But you'll never be by yourself if you're married.
Amen.
It's like, it's the beautiful thing about marriage is you get a friend.
Amen.
You get a friend and y'all can move in the same direction with God. It's like, how can two walk together lest they agree? One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. Mm-hmm. When God sent them out, he sent them out 2 by 2.
Mm-hmm.
So by nature, you're two, but you're one because you're a unit.
Amen.
And then the family comes after and then they become a stronger unit.
Yeah.
And a threefold cord is not easily broken. What happens when it's four? Mm. What happens when it's five? What happens when it's 10? Shout out to the newbies. Love y'all.
Yes. Amen.
It gets really hard to break.
Amen.
But the good thing is that God will be there for you. And he will, you know, if you remember that your steps are ordered, you can have actual solace in the fact that if your heart is yielded, you're going the way he wants you to.
Amen.
Whether it be difficulty, misunderstandings, disappointments, things that you don't understand or don't know or happen or unforeseen, if your steps are ordered, that means you are in place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right where you're supposed to be. You just have to endure and keep the faith.
Amen. I wasn't going to say it just for the sake of time, but I keep looking at the camera now and seeing the smiley faces on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have to at that point because I'm actually wearing the jacket. Mm-hmm. Now, we must say that Zoom Beanie has nothing to do with this podcast. The beliefs and thoughts that are expressed this podcast do not represent the Zoom Beanie company whatsoever.
No, it does not.
No, but I am a licensed Zoom Beanie instructor. It's an early childhood music and movement program. Mm-hmm. Love it. It's great. I haven't done it in a couple of years for, you know, just because the Lord has redirected. But the way that I got into it, though, was that, you know, it was on my heart. And that goes back to just, man, God weaves it all together for a reason. I still don't fully know the reason that God has me to be home with our kids and be homeschooling and all of that, like, other than, like, just the world being in the state that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've yet to see why, you know. And a lot of times he keeps us from danger seen and unseen. It's like sometimes we never know what he kept people from.
Oh.
But, you know, but anyway, like, it was strong on my heart. I was working in a preschool and I didn't want to. I went to school for skincare. And then came out of school, couldn't get a job. Long story short, I wind up working in a preschool just because I needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was available and it was around the corner from my house. So I wind up at this preschool and you and I wound up getting engaged during that time. But we had been together for a couple of years and I just knew, like, okay, met my husband. We're going to be getting married at some point. Like, when we have kids, I just know that I want to have flexibility.
Yeah.
I'm also working in this preschool where I'm seeing that I disagree with the way the children are being treated, you know, and just thinking to myself, I don't want to be forced to put my kids somewhere with strangers and all of that and not be sure what's going on. And so I started like being open, you know, like God puts promptings on your heart and gives you certain convictions for a reason, you know? And it's like, it was such a strong conviction for me that like, I need to, whatever work I'm doing, I wasn't thinking of not working. That hadn't yet crossed my mind, but I just knew whatever work I'm doing, I need to be able to control my schedule. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to take my kids with me or do it from home, whatever the case may be. And while I was at that school, I had never heard of Mommy and Me music and movement classes before in my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it existed. Mm-hmm. And I met a music teacher that they hired there. And she was teaching in a school setting. That wasn't what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But she was a Mommy and Me music and movement instructor. And I found her CD in the radio that we were using to play lullabies for them at nap time.
Yeah.
So I went to return her CD to her. And I'm like, oh, like this music is sweet. Like, where'd you get it from? She tells me what her job is and everything. And I'm like, oh, wow. And that was really appealing to me. And then it just all came together. Like, oh, but then like that is a job. We were not married yet. Mm-hmm. I might have found out about it before we got engaged.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I did, because that was August. Yeah, I found out about it before we got engaged.
Yeah.
And you know, so like, but I'm already forward thinking, like the Lord had already just kind of put it on my heart.
Yeah.
That like I need to prepare you and put you in a certain place to be able to do XYZ. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to homeschool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to wind up just completely being a stay-at-home mom and not working at all in certain seasons. Mm-hmm. All of that. But it's like, but God was already like putting me in position to be able to be a stay-at-home mom. And she just came to Zoom Beanie with me. Yeah. Like the one day out of the week you were home with her. And then the other day out of the week, my mom would come to help me out with her. But like she was coming with me and it all worked out, you know? And like, I really do just look back in my life and see how God positioned me. Mm. I don't know why. That just seems like it's a strong message that we're giving in this episode that God is positioning you.
God is positioning you.
He's positioning you for future things that you can't yet see.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just be open.
Be open to the move of the Spirit in your life.
Amen.
Amen. I love you.
Love you too.
We love y'all. We'll see you next week or next time, whatever. Amen. Peace.